We are continuing our study of the Epistle to the Galatians. Thank you for joining us. We're on chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. In yesterday's program, I talked about the three negative statements and the three positive statements in verse 16. It says, "Yet who know that a man is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law shall no one be justified." The negatives are that we are not justified by works of the law, and, again he says, and justified not by works, and finally, by law shall no one be justified. Well, we have some positive things here, too. He said, we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's why he said we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ. Now, the problem here that caused him to write this was Peter's defection from the faith. The truth of the gospel said that Christians could do nothing to improve their standing with God, and Peter, by his actions at Antioch, by departing from the Gentile table of food and insisting on eating only kosher food, was suggesting very strongly that Gentile Christians should be eating like Jews ate. That is, living by the law of Moses, by the dietary laws, as though that could improve their acceptability to the Father in heaven. Why, that was an insult to the work of Jesus Christ. Did not Christ do enough? Was there more that he could have done or should have done in order to save us completely? Well, if we look at it that way, perhaps we will better appreciate that Jesus Christ did everything necessary according to the holy law of God. He paid the sinner's price, and he was qualified by virtue of his sinlessness. He pleased the Father in everything, and because he did, those who trust in him will likewise be pleasing to the Father. And when we compare the negative statements, which Paul discusses in chapter 2, verse 16, along with the positive statements, we get an enhanced understanding of salvation. Romans 6:23 also gives us that kind of understanding. "For the wages of sin is death. But," and here's the contrast, "the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What we deserve are the wages of sin, and that's death. But what we get is the gift of God, if we get it through Jesus Christ. That's a promise of God. Now in verse 15, we have a privileged position expressed. And you and I are not of that privileged class of people. Paul writes, "We ourselves, who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners." Were the Jews privileged? They were. They were a chosen people. They were the descendants of Abraham through whom the promises had been made. And they were chosen for a divine purpose on the earth, to bring the Savior into the world and to declare the holiness of the one true God. They were also to be a testimony to that one true God by their different way of life, and that's why the law was given. Theirs was a divine heritage. No other nation in the world had this. It's expressed in Romans chapter 9, beginning with verse 4. "They are Israelites, and to them belong the sonship, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises." It's a fact that no covenant was ever made by God with anyone other than the Jewish people, that chosen race that descended from Abraham. They were God's possession. We fail to see the significance of what Paul writes here. In spite of who these people were and what they had, their holy law could not justify this holy people of God, and they needed to be justified because they too were sinners. You see, God didn't pick them out because they were any better than anyone else, and He didn't pick them out because they already had salvation. He chose them simply because He loved them. He had to pick out some family of people to bring the Messiah into the world, and He chose them. Yet these people falsely believed that the law could make them right with God. That's brought out in Romans chapter 10, where Paul writes in verse 3, "For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, that everyone who has faith may be justified." Paul's conclusion here, that even we, with this divine selection and divine regulations, we Jews are not justified by doing something. This justification has nothing to do with making a person righteous. The word justify rather declares one righteous. And for what reason? Not his merit. God declares us right before Him, even though we are guilty. This doesn't change our character. Justification changes our position. It's a result of faith in the righteous one, Jesus Christ. You see, a judge in court may acquit an offender, but this does not change the man's character one bit. It simply declares him not guilty of violating a law. And he actually may be guilty, but perhaps there wasn't enough evidence to convict him. You see, it doesn't change his character. The judge's declaration pronounces him clear of the charge, even though he may have been guilty. Understand this, then, as a Christian. When justified by faith, you are no better than you were before. However, the judge in heaven, by his grace, has declared you free of the law's condemnation, even though you are guilty. And Romans 3:24 brings this out, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. If then you sin after believing and are cast into doubt about your salvation, it's because you may have thought that God made you righteous. Well, that's very misleading, so we need to understand this. And if you thought God made you righteous when you became a Christian, then the result is, after you sin, that you will doubt God. But don't doubt. God is trustworthy. Justification is God's declaration that the guilty sinner is no longer guilty in his sight and is instead declared right forever by the laws of heaven. Can you believe it? Well, faith is believing God, and the Bible declares that you are not guilty if you have believed in Christ, so you need not be concerned about those sins which you have committed. Now, justification is a judicial act. Legalism tries to make it a practical act of man, but it's an act of God. Nothing I can do can change what God has done. I like what it says in Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it, so men will revere Him. Now, the case of Peter in Galatians chapter 2 was a perversion of this doctrine of justification. How is it possible to be made right with God through faith alone? Then, years later, to suggest by our behavior that certain rules must be observed to stay right with God. If God declared us right when we had no rules and were His enemies, how can failure to keep rules impair the righteous position of those who have become His friends through faith? How can you lose by not paying what you never bought? And how can we forfeit by failure to do works what was promised only to those who would not work? The gospel taught me to stop working for righteousness. That's expressed in Romans 4:5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. Unfortunately, many people don't understand one of the law's great purposes, which was to condemn. How do we know that? Romans 3:19 says it. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. When it talks about closing everyone's mouth, it means shutting you up so you can't defend yourself. And by that I mean that this holy law of God so condemns a man that he dare not even make a response to try to justify himself. That's what the law does. It will point out every one of your sins and how you have fallen short of God's holy standard. What does the law do? Well, it does what the bathroom scale does for your body. It diagnoses, but it can't cure your problem. Oftentimes, the bathroom scale tells us that we are far overweight, but there's nothing that it can do about our problem. Now, that's what the law does for your salvation. It points out how you are without salvation and undeserving of it and how you have failed, but the law can't help you. Do you have doubts about eternal life? I think the Radio Bible Course can help you. We have a set of tapes called Understanding the New Testament, and it explains the differences between law and grace, between the Old and the New Testaments. This exciting course is unmatched in providing biblical understanding. People who have experienced just the first of the 10 tapes have said, "Why didn't I hear this in church?" You'll find this course a biblical treat. You can get information about Understanding the New Testament by writing to the Radio Bible Course. May I say that no course or book contains this exciting material, which I developed as a short course at Louisiana State University. These 15 hours of teaching give spiritual understanding and unfold a refreshing approach to the inspired Word of God. Write today for information about Understanding the New Testament. Send your letter to the Radio Bible Course. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.